Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com. Time now for Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome in, everybody, on this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday morning in the Commonwealth. Michael, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good.
Good.
I'm doing good. As I was telling you earlier, I was listening to Sirius Satellite. And I heard It's a Beautiful Morning by the Rascals. As an oldie, you know it. You're a Rascals fan.
It's a beautiful morning.
And it is a beautiful morning.
And Process, I don't know if you know this. This is a very special day. Do you know what today is?
What is today?
Well, today, on this very day, a long, long, long time ago, the Pratt family of Dayton, Ohio, welcomed in a little bundle of joy. They named him Michael. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Michael. Oh, happy birthday to you.
You're too much, man. You're too much.
That it was so all nice. I could do. We've been sitting in the conference room for 45 minutes, and it was all I could do not to say anything about your birthday because I wanted to surprise you with my serenade.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be here. What are you, like 55, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
No. I said a long, long, long time ago.
56?
You know, Process, time flies when you're having fun.
Well, so what are you going to do on your birthday?
Well, my wonderful wife is going to make a pasta dinner for me, and we will enjoy that tonight. Offered to take her out, or she offered to take whatever it was. We decided to stay at home and celebrate. And this morning, you know, I got a big hug and a kiss and all that kind of good stuff.
From who?
From my wife. Not from you or Process. No way. No way, Jose.
Happy birthday, Michael.
Thank you. And you got one right around the corner, so we'll
celebrate.
Oh,
no. You're a year older than I am.
Now, that is not true.
For about the next 45 days, you're a year older than I am.
You wonder why we were the youngest two guys, the two goofy young guys on that team then. You know, we were the end. Everybody else
was
18.
Did you go to kindergarten?
Yeah, I did.
Because we didn't have, where I grew up in the hills of Missouri, they didn't have kindergarten.
Oh, really?
So I went to first grade. I was 5 years old when I went to first grade. So
wow.
But we must have been the two youngest guys.
We were.
On our freshman team.
I think that was acknowledged back in the day, whenever that was. And everybody else was 18.
When school started.
Yeah, even before.
Yeah.
You know, some guys were held back. They still do that. Some guys were I mean, just
knowing our teammates, I can understand why some of them were held back. I'm surprised they ever moved forward.
Now, Dan, that is not good. Not good. Not, oh, boy. Man. Well,
so we were 17
when
we started at Kentucky.
Yeah, yeah, because school started, you know, I had just turned 18 because school's like a week or two ago from starting, but you were truly 17. And, well, today, changing the subject, we've got some interesting things to talk about. We're going to have Chris Fisher, 2-4 Sports, on the Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity
Hotline.
We'll have him at 10:30. And then Jim Master, the former Kentucky Wildcat, the sharpshooter from Indiana who went to Kentucky, is going to join us after the break. We're going to talk about his career. And I like getting these guys that used to play at Kentucky. I enjoy that. And you asked some great questions about the recruiting and about the teams. And Delk was funny the other day about his recruiting, wasn't he? I mean, they all have different stories. We all have great stories.
See, that's why I'm so interested in the story, the recruiting story, because that the recruitment of me to the University of Kentucky changed my entire life. And it almost didn't happen. I mean, it came very close to not happening. And so I'm always interested in recruiting stories and how people chose made the choices they did. And I think it's real interesting.
Oh, I do too, because I can appreciate what you said, because I remember having made up my mind, told my parents, we had a baseball game that night. It was that afternoon after school. And so we're out taking batting practice, and Coach Donaher comes up, and he always, you know, he personally recruited me. He was
from the University of Dayton.
Wonderful man. And he came to see me play baseball. Of course, that was part of recruiting. And I had to leave the batting practice to tell him that I had made up my mind. And, you know, he was really nice about it, stayed around a little bit and watched us play a few innings. And since then, we still have a really good relationship.
But those are tough conversations.
Tough times. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I had a similar situation with John Erickson, who was the coach at Wisconsin. A terrific guy. He later went on, I think, he became president of Athletes in Action.
Wasn't he a really good tennis player or coach or something?
Yeah, I think he was.
I remember that, yeah.
But I remember he came to my – I signed a Big Ten letter to go to Wisconsin, and he came to my high school graduation. And I can still remember this like it was yesterday. He gave me Bill Bradley's book, A Sense of Where You Are, that is that somebody calling to wish you a happy birthday?
I don't know.
2 days in a row, man. What are you doing?
Well, I turn it off at night.
Hey, we are semi-professional radio people.
It's his birthday. Ease up, Process.
Well, Process is right. What am I thinking? You're right, Process. Turn the daggone thing off, right? Yeah. Go ahead.
And so he came to my high school graduation and gave me that book. And then I had to call him and tell him eventually that I was going to UK instead. Those are really hard conversations for a 17.
That's it.
A 17-year-old to go through.
Who typically you're not telling anybody no, particularly somebody you come to like. You don't tell them no at that age. I mean, you know, you just kind of go with the flow, right? Yeah, I mean, that's hard. And I enjoy when we talk to these guys about the recruiting process. Because in the younger they get, the even more interesting it gets. It was pretty, you know, cut and dry back in the day. I mean, there weren't the options. There might have been, 125, 130 D1 schools. Now there's 356.
Right.
You know.
How many trips did you take? How many visits did you take?
Well, I took my first plane trip when I went to Duke. I visited Duke. And I visited Duke. They didn't.
Ooh.
They had not looked at my transcript yet. And then I took my second trip to LSU. And that's really a pretty interesting story. At least I think it is. A guy named Frank Truett was recruiting Bill Hoskett, who later on played on the Olympic team. You know Bill.
Yeah.
Played with the Knicks and
yeah.
career cut short by an injury.
Ohio State.
They played at Dayton Belmont, he and Donnie May, and they were the best team in the state, won the state championship. So as a sophomore in recruiting Hoskett and May, he saw me and started recruiting me. Frank Truett did as the assistant to can't think of the head coach now, but anyway, Frank was, I mean, I was all in on Ohio State at that time. Not ahead of Dayton, but I mean, Kentucky hadn't reached out to me yet.
Right.
Okay. They didn't do
well,
what
was it Jody yesterday who said Kentucky always comes in late because they
yeah.
can't?
Because yeah.
they can.
Yeah. yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So Frank go after my junior year. I go up to see him play basketball. I see him play football. They give me these tickets. And so I really liked Ohio State. Hoskett was there, and I thought the world of Bill. And I know they had good teams. And so he goes to LSU after my junior year. Frank Truett did,
okay.
yeah. And he's there a year. But I liked him so much, he convinced me to get on a plane and fly to Baton Rouge because there was a guy from Dayton, Ralph Eucla, on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, plane trip, I'll take it. You know, my second in my life. And so I flew to Baton Rouge, and Frank, we had a great time, and I'd played against Ralph and all this kind of good stuff. I
so
get home.
So Press Maravich
no,
was in the head coach.
That's the kicker to
okay.
the story.
All right.
Frank, okay, now former assistant at Ohio State.
Right.
He's at LSU 1 year. I get home 2 days later. He calls me up. He said, hey, Mike, how you doing? I said, Coach, I'm doing good. I thought he was going to say, hey, do you want to come to LSU? I'm, you know. He says, I'm going to Kent State, taking the head coaching job at Kent State. It's a better job than LSU at this time. And would you visit Kent State? I said, Coach, I can't visit Kent State. it's a good school in Mac. I can't. Okay. So then Pete comes in and
right.
Press comes in.
Right.
Okay. They follow him. And that was a crazy thing. And
you could have been passing the ball to Pete. Or nobody passed the ball to Pete. You could have been taking the ball out of bounds for Pete.
But you know what? He would have passed to me because he was a passer. And on that team, I think I could have converted a few. But outside of that, you know, you drive to Ohio State to see games and go to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I went over to IU, drove over there in Michigan. A lot of the, you know, pretty much the big
team. So you took quite a few trips.
Yeah, I'd see ball games. They'd invite me up. I went up to Ohio State. And saw Cassie Russell and that great Michigan team play Ohio State the last game of the year.
You know, I saw Michigan. I didn't take very many recruiting trips. I saw Michigan play in the Chicago Stadium. I don't know if I've told you this story before.
Now, this was Cassie Russell
and
that whole
time.
Terrific
the exact,
team.
Exact yeah, same yeah, time. Yeah. And the thing that I was, I'm not going to say impressed, but the thing that I remember most about going into the Chicago Stadium and watching Michigan play and going to the locker room after the game was Cassie Russell had underwear that had drawstrings in them. I'd never seen underwear that had drawstrings. And that's what I remember most about that entire trip. But I only visited.
Who did they play?
I don't remember.
Okay.
A Big Ten
school.
I thought
it might have been Wisconsin.
No.
Or Illinois.
No. But I visited Wisconsin, I visited Northwestern, I visited Illinois, and I visited Kentucky. Those were the only trips we met like Michigan and Chicago.
Right.
We met with a few other schools, but I only took four trips, and I drove to all of them except Kentucky. That was my first airplane trip,
too. Yeah, yeah. That's now these guys and their stories now are so much different. Of course, they – you know, and we shared with Jody what David Hobbs, the former assistant, had said about finding Jody.
He didn't want anybody else to see him play.
He had to leave the floor where Jody was playing to go back to the pack of SEC guys who were watching somebody else and just hoping they didn't want to leave that. He didn't want, you know, sometimes assistants say, okay, where's that Issel guy now? I got to keep track of him because I want to be recruiting his players. You know,
yeah.
I want to be – it was very funny. And I want to talk about Ohio State and the name, image, and likeness before we get Chris Fisher on. But when we went up to talk to Calipari, Mitch Barnhart, Lee Todd, myself, and Rob Mullins to have the interview and up in Chicago. And Cal did a wonderful job. I mean, one of the best dog and ponies I've ever seen.
So he's in Memphis.
No, he's in Chicago. He went up to see Derrick Rose play.
Oh, okay.
And he spent the night, and we
you flew up there to meet him.
Right. Snuck out of town, actually, left out of Bardstown. And then we went to the hotel where he was staying. And, left out of Bardstown. And so he is holding court. He set it up where there were four chairs. And Lee Todd and Mitch were up front because he knew that was where his sales piece was going. Okay,
right.
And then Rob and I sat right behind him. He had Cokes and coffee and whatever you want. I mean, it was great in his suite, organized. He starts talking about a lot of things. I mean, we're there 4 hours, I guess. But the one thing I remember him saying was really funny. He said, "Well, you know, Dr. Todd and Mitch," and he directed everything at them, which was what he should have done, right?
Right.
So he said, "I remember when Tubby Smith was coaching. He said I would recruit, but I wouldn't recruit against him. When I saw he was in on a kid, or he was, you know, this, I would, for the most part, I would leave."
Hmm.
He said I would leave because I didn't think I could get them, but I knew they were good players.
Right.
Okay. He said then when Billy Clyde was there, he said, and I found out Kentucky was recruiting their players. He said I wouldn't go because I didn't want them. And of course, he prefaced, I think he said something like, "Now, look, I'm not."
That's hysterical.
Because he was asked about recruiting, and he was asked by Lee Todd or Mitch about recruiting. And isn't that funny?
Billy Clyde's had a rough 2 days on this show, man.
We love Billy Clyde. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is.
That's really funny.
What about, you know, we talked about disc golf. You know, Friday they're going to have, you know, Friday on ESPN, they're having a special. What is it called?
The Ocho.
Ocho. That's it. They have all the off-the-wall sports, don't they?
Yes, Russ? They do. From cornhole to arm wrestling, everything possibly that's so stupid that's kind of a sport, they put it on there.
Yeah. Air guitar competition.
I don't know how you rate that.
I don't either.
See, I wouldn't want to do that. I'd never want to do a sport where you leave it up to judging. So I wouldn't.
You're not a gymnast?
No.
No figure skating either?
Nope.
All right.
Nope. I want tangible.
Definitive.
I want tangible results. I don't want anybody else deciding how well I do something.
I would agree with that. I would agree. That's counter to how we were raised. That's counter to that. And you got to live with the good and the bad then, and it's on you. You can't blame the official
Sure you can.
Well, now, in those sports, you can say the judge.
Yeah.
You know, the judge. But now, we can blame an official for a blocked charge. There's no question about that. No question about that.
Okay, so you were talking about disc golf.
I just brought that up because I knew you were really into this.
Yeah, I and you preface it by saying we were talking about disc golf. If I remember correctly, it was you talking about disc golf.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
so
it
you
was.
Did not go home, sit in your chair last night, and throw on disc golf? Is that what I'm getting, Dan? That's what I'm gathering?
No.
All right.
No.
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. And he didn't throw his cubbies on either.
No. No.
That's fair. Yeah, honestly, I take the disc golf over the Cubs at this point. I'm sorry, Dan.
This kid Adele, who's from Ballard High School, he was a number one pick, and he's back up in the bigs. He was up a while. They sent him down. He came up this now from AAA, and he's on a little bit of a hitting streak. It's good to see. He's like 22 or so, but he was a high pick, played at Ballard out of high school. He's up with the Angels. He's got some power. You like to see that. And
did he go to college or did
he went
pro?
No, he went, he was a top 10 pick. He went right out.
He might have been number one.
He wasn't number one. No. I want to say he was number nine.
Okay.
About. Yeah. Yeah, no, he played middle school ball with my brother. His sister went to middle school with me, and then they went to Ballard.
How about that? He's a power hitter.
He's a five-tool player.
Is that like a three-level score?
I mean, you don't know what a five-tool player is?
Oh, yeah.
I was making sure.
Hit, run, bat. Pitch, catch.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Enough.
That's pretty close. But
I don't think pitch is one of them.
If you're Ohtani, it is.
Good point.
Let's put it this way.
Good point.
Adele may be stacking money later on in his career.
So?
I think
Good for him.
Well, how about what's going on at Ohio State, man? We talked about name, image, and likeness. How about what's going on at Ohio State?
You know, it's just the tip of the iceberg, Michael.
And I'm going to have to give you credit. You did say we discussed about the schools that have Nike, Adidas, whomever, as a major sponsor.
Right.
Okay, and Nike's a big sponsor with Ohio State. I mean, you know, they support financially, and a big athletic department, maybe the biggest budget in the country.
And so I'm sure it's a big ticket that Nike writes every year.
Oh, yeah. So what Ohio State has done to help, they say, their student-athletes, they've allowed them to use their marks and their logo in marketing themselves. It's a group licensing market. It's going to be interesting to see, and my friend John Hofer talked to you about this, and I think his guy in Jacksonville, I can't think of his name now, is involved in this. He put the one in North Carolina together.
Yeah, with the former players.
Yes. But this is current players, mm-hmm. and they can use the marks, they can use the logos to make money themselves.
As long as do they have to pledge allegiance to Nike?
You know what? That hasn't been said. No, I believe I read that they can't use the product Nike in their marketing. It's got to be some other product, some other jersey.
Well, there has to be some trade-off. They didn't just give these athletes the logo out of the goodness of their heart.
Absolutely not. Here's the trade-off. They formed a consortium of athletes ultimately, okay? And they can use the marks and the logos, but who makes money off those?
The university.
Thank you. Thank you. So why wouldn't you provide that to a group of your players, whatever, men or women? Why wouldn't you give them that to sell more items which you get a royalty from? Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Makes a lot of sense.
It does.
So that's going on at Ohio State. And Dan's favorite player, the QB from Texas, he's right in the middle of this.
Oh, yeah, Ewers.
Yep.
Quinn Ewers, is that his
name?
I still can't believe the kid's going to give up his senior year in high school just because there's money out there.
Money talks and BS walks.
Yeah, but still, Michael.
I agree with you. We both enjoyed our high school experience, and it's hard to believe somebody would give that up. Yeah. I agree. But maybe, do you think the question should be, will Texas high school change their rules?
Yeah.
On allowing these high school kids to make money off their name, image, and likeness.
I think if somebody wanted to challenge it legally, I think they've already gone to the Supreme Court. What's the difference between a high school senior and a college freshman in the eyes of the Supreme Court and the legitimacy of that ruling? I think if somebody wants to challenge that, I think they win hands down.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there, and it looks like Ohio State thinks that too, because they're going to let them use for a fee, and that's okay, because that's what everybody has to do, pay that fee to use that logo or that mark.
And the kids will make more money if there's an Ohio State logo on the merchandise they're trying to sell. So you're right, it benefits everybody.
It was interesting in these articles I read about. How deep this allowing them to use the marks and use the logos. We're talking about anything from jerseys.
You're saying marks. What? I don't know what that means.
Mark is the part of the logo that they control that says the University of Kentucky or Ohio State University.
Okay.
And then you got the logo.
Okay. I got you.
Now, here was an interesting. Ohio State said they can use it in, they listed five or six things. And this is where it's going to be pretty interesting from two ways. You got, they anticipate not only clothing, but like mugs and trading cards. And here's the kicker, video games.
Mm.
So you know how the younger generation plays those video games?
Yeah.
So now instead of just having Process in a bland jersey with his name on the front and the numbers, now somebody can create a video game using Process You and I with our numbers, with our logos, with the a real deal, okay? Mm. And somebody's going to do that. I mean, they're absolutely going to do
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I'd be interesting to know if there's something in that agreement that says that they can't compete. Let's just use the shoe. If there's something in there that says we're a Nike school, so you can't put this on Adidas tennis shoes, I'd be interested to see what kind of agreement that they reached so that they can protect, they being the university, can protect the big contracts, endorsement contracts that they have.
And to your point, maybe that's why they are bending over backwards mm-hmm. to accommodate this group of athletes.
Right.
Because they don't want to get into a disagreement over the Adidas or the Nike contract. And, you know, that's fair enough. I mean, those contracts support many, many athletes, primarily non-revenue athletes.
Yeah.
So you got to keep that intact.
But you know, like I've said all along, the universities better do something to protect that, because I don't think if Adidas comes and offers a kid $20,000 to wear their shoe and it's a Nike company.
Yep.
I don't know if they can defend that one.
Well, of course, I told you that I was told by a reliable source in the world of college sports that Puma is just waiting to make their mark.
Right.
And they're going to, when Dan Issel has a big November, October, whatever it may be, they're going to come in and they're going to say, hey, I'm going to give you $10,000. Yeah. I'm going to give you $15,000.
No, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Because that $10,000, you get the best player on the team.
Hottest player.
To wear your shoe for, let's say, $25,000.
Whatever.
That's a whole lot cheaper than the checks that these shoe companies are writing to the universities, you know, to get them to be a Nike or Adidas school. That's chump change compared to that.
Yeah, so it is interesting. Your question is there parameters that keeps these young folks from doing that? And maybe that's why they allow them to do it as a group.
Right.
I think Ohio State is way ahead of the curve.
Yeah,
It sounds like it.
You
got to give them credit.
Nobody's going to fight that
for
$5,000.
Right.
But, I mean, you start talking about legitimate money, and somebody's gonna challenge
you
that.
You think there's a lawyer out there lying in the weeds waiting?
He's not even lying in the weeds. He's advertising every 15 seconds on the Andy Griffith Show.
A lawyer? How about a lot of lawyers?
It's a beautiful morning. I think I'll go outside for a while.
You're locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
That's some sweet music, man. Mm. That is some sweet, laid-back, kickback music. I love it. Love it. Well, this segment of Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. When you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than home. Hike, bike, paddle, fish, or even venture deep underground. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com. And on the line, we have Chris Fisher from 247 Sports on the Kim Crawford Wines Celebrity Hotline. Chris, welcome in.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on. Happy birthday, Mike.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Sometimes you wish you didn't have them, but time flies when you're having fun.
Hey, it beats the alternative.
Yes, sir. Well, Chris, I was reading quite a few articles. You covered this recruiting period very closely, and I want you, if you would please, to bring us up to speed on some guys Kentucky's interested in. But saying that, how bad was the COVID at these various events. I mean, coaches are getting COVID, players. I mean, it seemed to be a big deal.
Yeah, you know, I think the COVID cases at Peach Jam specifically made a couple headlines. It seems like they had a little bit of an outbreak down there. I think, you know, one team was forced to withdraw from the tournament, and a couple key players forced to sit out. Bill Self from Kansas stayed home during the last evaluation period because of COVID, and John Calipari as well. I don't want to speculate, but he was conspicuous by his absence during the last evaluation period. And so you're having surges, you know, all over the country, and when you're in, you know, when you're packed inside in these gyms, obviously those types of things are going to happen.
Well, it seems to me that this was something that it was unavoidable given the situations. Now, you mentioned the Peach Jam. What led up to the Peach Jam as far as the most important venues for these young players to showcase themselves to college coaches?
Yeah, so Peach Jam is the summer end championships of the Nike EYBL travel circuit, which is the most popular and really the premier circuit sponsored by the shoe companies, whether it be Nike or Adidas or Under Armour. It really is the best of the best under one roof, competing against each other in front of a who's who of college coaches. And the way the schedule was set up this season, normally they have four or five different stops all around the country that comprise a regular season, and then you play the pool play and the tournament at Peach Jam at the end of the summer. Well, you didn't really have much of a travel season again in 2021. The entire 2020 season was canceled as well. And so they had a session of seven games at Peach Jam prior to the playoffs and the tournament. So it was 2 weeks of several of Kentucky's top targets competing against each other, two of which earned scholarship offers, a five-star combo guard Kaysen Wallace from Texas and five-star combo guard Nick Smith from Arkansas. Both of those guys played really, really well, earned a scholarship offer from Kentucky, and it seems like Kentucky's in good shape for both of those guys. I don't envision them taking both. You already have five-star point guard Sky Clark in the fold, top 10 shooting guard Shaden Sharp from Canada. Kentucky is the heavy, heavy favorite for him, so I really only see Kentucky taking one of those guys to complement the other two in the backcourt.
Chris, what about the freshmen that are coming in this year? I think the kids coming out of the transfer portal have kind of dominated the discussion at Kentucky, but what about the freshmen that are coming in this year at UK?
Yeah, I think you have to start with Ty Washington, the five-star combo guard from Arizona. I think he's projected as a lottery pick in some of the early mock drafts for 2022, and I think he's in the conversation to be Kentucky's best player this season, top to bottom, even with a lot of the experience they have coming in from the transfers. Reminds me a lot of Brandon Knight. He can play on the ball. He can play off the ball. He shoots it really well. Very, very skilled player and has that size at 6'3", and the length that John Calipari typically looks for on the defensive end. And so I think from day one, he's going to be one of the big immediate impact freshmen in all of college basketball. And then I think you have more of an X factor in Damian Collins, five-star power forward from Texas, a McDonald's All-American. One of the highest ceilings, I think, of any prospect in the 2022 class. Now, I think the big question for him is going to be how quickly he transitions from high school to college in terms of physicality, in terms of style of play. He's rail thin. I think he's only about 190 pounds, even at 6'10". So he's going to have to get a lot stronger, going to have to acclimate himself to a much more physical style of play. But I think when you look at this year's team, he's one of the big X factors, I think, that from start to finish could take Kentucky from being a good team to being a great team.
Now, one of the things that Mike and I have been talking about the last couple of days, and I at least think it's a really bad situation, but I know it's football instead of basketball, but this Quinn Ewers going skipping his senior year in high school because Texas won't let him collect on name, image, and likeness. How much of that are we going to see going down the road on some of these kids you mentioned for next year? Is that going to be a real pull to get them away from college basketball?
You know, I think a lot of this remains to be seen. I mean, guys classing up and, you know, reclassifying and enrolling in college early, that is nothing new. We've seen that become more and more prevalent even without NIL over the last several years. You're having anywhere from, you know, 5 to 10 guys in any given class reclassify at the end of the summer, you know, cram in all their online schoolwork over the summer and enroll in college a year early in the fall. And so that aspect of it is nothing new. It'll be interesting to see if guys start doing that for NIL purposes. But also, you know, NIL right now is the wild, wild west. I mean, I don't think anybody fully has their arms wrapped around this thing and knows exactly what it's going to be and where it's going to go. And, you know, the NIL opportunity started on July 1st, and you haven't, you know, there have been a couple guys here and there. You mentioned Quinn Ewers from, you know, going to Ohio State. I think Nick Saban mentioned, you know, his quarterback, Bryce Young, had signed a 7-figure NIL deal. But really, other than that, you haven't seen a ton of really high-profile NIL deals, you know, being done. Dante Allen has, you know, some T-shirts, and I think he's partnered with Bojangles, and Kellen Grady has some, you know, sandals out. But really, for the most part, it hasn't made the immediate waves that I think a lot of people thought it would. Now, couldn't that change? You know, absolutely. There's still a lot of time, and the season hasn't even started yet. But I think anybody that knows, that says they know exactly where this thing is going or what it's going to look like, it would be lying to you.
Chris, were you able to go to the Peach Jam or any one of these events?
I was not, actually. I was forced to sit at home like a lot of the fans and stream these events online. The Peach Jam it used to be more of a niche thing. I mean, back in, you know, 2013, one of the first times I went, you know, you had Andrew Wiggins and Julius Randle, you know, going head to head, and even recruiting, I think, was kind of still more of a niche market. But, you know, now recruiting is covered 24/7, and they did not let locals into that event, had a very limited number of credentials for media as well, and they didn't grant interviews. That's, you know, one of the big things. That's one of the big draws of the event, the media coming down and talking to the recruits and seeing who the Kentucky coaches are looking at and getting the, you know, the scoop on their recruitment. And you weren't able to do that this year. And so that took a huge element of Peach Jam away. And hopefully that returns next summer.
Well, given that, I know you talk to a lot of people, and I think historically, Kentucky has been a little slow to offer people, for whatever the reason. It's been Calipari and his staff's philosophy to come in late. We had Jody Meeks on the other day, and Jody mentioned how Kentucky came in late on him, and I had a backstory with David Hobbs. So, but now, Chris, we're seeing Kentucky get out early and make the offers public to some of these guys. Is that something you think that change in philosophy will help long term?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And you're right. Kentucky typically waits a little bit later in the process. John Calipari is notoriously deliberate in his evaluations and really wants to see these guys in person and see them multiple times and get a really good feel for them as a player and as a person before extending a scholarship offer. And at the end of the day, you're Kentucky. A scholarship offer to Kentucky might as well be a gold bar. It's invaluable, and there's exclusivity to that. But I do think you're starting to see a shift, especially with the coaching change over the summer, bringing Orlando Antigua back, bringing in Chen Coleman. You have Jay Lucas as well, who's very highly regarded as a recruiter. And they're casting a much wider net since coming on board with the younger guys. And I hate to do this, but you have to give credit to the staff at Duke, in my opinion. They identify guys really early in the process. They develop that relationship. They identify what they consider to be Duke guys, guys that not only are good enough to play at Duke, but are likely to accept the scholarship offer that they're giving out. And so they identify guys really, really early, develop that relationship, and lock them up early in the process. And so I think you're seeing a little bit more of that from Kentucky, casting a wider net, offering younger guys, establishing relationships with younger guys. And I think it's starting to pay off on the recruiting trail. I think when you look at least early on, the 2022 class, I think Kentucky is absolutely poised for a monster class. Could land as many as five or six of the top 20 guys in the 2022 class. So something's working for sure.
Chris, at the end of the day, though, you mentioned earlier that Ty Washington is projected to be a lottery pick next year. I think B.J. Boston about this time last year was projected to be a lottery pick, and he barely made it to the end of the second round. But it really is. I mean, you can look at all of the stats and look at these people, these kids in person multiple times. But at the end of the day, isn't character a big part of it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, and that's another area that I don't think John Calipari gets enough credit for. He recruits the right types of guys. He recruits guys that are going to be unselfish, are going to buy into the team system. They're not going to get in trouble. They're going to sacrifice for each other. And you're right. A lot can happen over the course of a year. And a freshman in college is so unpredictable, and you guys know this firsthand. They're going to have ups and downs. They're going to have ebbs and flows. Their confidence is going to, you know, go up and down over the course of the year, depending on how they're playing. And I think there are a lot of X factors that went into B.J. Boston's freshman season at Kentucky. He broke his finger early on. They weren't able to work out together in the summer. They weren't even really allowed to be around each other over the summer. Didn't shoot the ball particularly well, which is also not uncommon for even good shooters at the college level in their first year. We saw that with Devin Booker. Had a really extended cold spell during his freshman year at Kentucky, and we see what type of success he's having now. And so there are just so many different X factors that go into having success as a freshman at the college level, and it's hard to quantify that and predict that. And I think that's why you see some of John Calipari's, especially his younger team, struggle early in the season before starting to get their feet under them as the season goes along.
You know, that's so hard, having tried to do that myself, to project these guys. And now, back in the day, you didn't have to project so early, but now you have to project. And the other thing you have to plug into this thing, Chris, is, and you talked about Duke and the feel they have for the players, is with the G League and with the overtime league, and everybody can talk about name, image, and likeness all they want. But that, I think, will take off or out maybe the first five or six guys, depending. And it's going to be even harder. I mean, you don't have to project those top five or six guys. You know, typically they're going to be players more times than not. But now you're down to the next set of 10s in the 20s or the teens and the 30s. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a great example. I think he was 30-something, right? And he had a terrific freshman year, just signed a big contract. So to find those guys now might be one of the best things you can do, but also very challenging.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's one of the main things that John Calipari is going to be tasking his assistants with is, you know, keep your ear to the street and – you know, start to understand and know, all right, which guys are looking to go to college, which guys are going to the G League, and sort them out from there. And when you look at recruiting rankings, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Tyler Hero specifically, both of those guys ranked in the 30s nationally before they came to Kentucky. But the two things, the things that, that really stood out about those two guys, they knew how to play. They had a great feel for the game, a great understanding, a high basketball IQ. And I think one thing that gets underranked nationally is skill. And we're starting to see skill and shooting return to basketball at every single level. It's not just about dunking and, you know, having plus size at your position and elite athleticism and links and those types of things. It's, can you play basketball? Can you put the ball in the hoop? And Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Tyler Hero could obviously do that. But yeah, targeting those guys and having your pecking order together and knowing which guys will have an interest in the G League and which guys will have an interest in going to college is going to be key for Kentucky in 2022 and beyond. And, you know, I think for John Calipari, maybe it doesn't hurt to have a former assistant in Rod Strickland running the NBA G League and recruiting these guys and being the one to extend those offers. Maybe John Calipari knows a little bit more about which way they're leaning as he's recruiting them.
Chris, there's of course it looks like Texas and Oklahoma will be joining the SEC. I believe sooner rather than later, and much of the discussion has been about how that affects the SEC football wise. What's your opinion on how those two new schools are going to affect the SEC and the basketball programs?
Yeah, you know, I think Kentucky is still going to be Kentucky. They're always going to be Kentucky. The history speaks for itself, and I would expect them to continue to be near or at the top of the league. But in Texas and Oklahoma, you're adding enough, you know, two more quality programs to heighten the profile of the league. And when you look at the transformation that the SEC has undergone in recent years, adding Texas A&M, adding Missouri, you look at the coaches that the league has added, and Bruce Pearl and Rick Barnes and Nate Oates at Alabama, the success he's having, and Will Wade, the success that, you know, he's had at LSU despite all the recent run-ins with the NCAA. The league, I think, has to be top to bottom as good as it's ever been in terms of in coaching and winning and NCAA tournaments. And you look at the 2021 NBA draft last week. The SEC had the most first-round picks of any conference. I can't remember the last time you could say that. Seven of the top 30 draft picks were from the SEC, and only one of them was from Kentucky. So that goes to show you how good the rest of the league has become around Kentucky, and it's only going to get better with Texas and Oklahoma.
Chris, before we let you go, I have an opinion about the big fella, Duran. Duran, how do you say his last name? Duran?
Yeah, Duran. Uh-huh.
I have an opinion where he goes. He's got an announcement Friday, but I think he's going to the G League, and I think that this is all showtime for he and his people. What do you think?
I think the G League is certainly a possibility. When reports surfaced in mid-June that he was planning on reclassifying to 2021 and you know, the general consensus was that he would choose the college route, and I think the NIL has given you know, schools like Memphis and Miami and Kentucky a fighting chance to land him on Friday. I still think it's probably more likely than not that he chooses college. I think Kentucky is probably running third, not a distant third, but third behind Memphis and Miami in some order. But nothing would surprise me. There is a little bit of an air of mystery surrounding his recruitment. He and his camp have played their cards really close to the vest, and nobody seems to know exactly what he's going to do on Friday. But I think Memphis and the G League are getting the most buzz right now, but we'll wait and see what happens. I think for Kentucky, the hay is in the barn. They've solidified themselves as a preseason top 10 team. You're pretty much set at the five spot with an all, you know, conference caliber player in Oscar Tshiebwe, but you had a guy like Jalen Duren who physically and athletically I think is going to be unmatched at the college level next season. All of a sudden overnight, Kentucky might be the preseason number one team in the country. You never know.
With the exception of Duren, is there anybody else that we can think of real quick over the next 3 weeks would commit to Kentucky?
No, I don't think so. I think when they passed on Kofi Coburn from Illinois, I think they understand, you know, their team is pretty much set in terms of roster construction. Now, you have Imani Bates, the number two overall prospect in 2022. I would expect him to reclassify as well. There's a lot of G League talk with him. I would expect that to be the choice for him. He should follow suit and reclassify in the next couple weeks, but Kentucky is not in the mix for him.
You just said, Chris, you just said something very interesting. You said that Kentucky passed on Coburn rather than the other way around.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when you bring in a guy like Oscar Tshiebwe, who left West Virginia because he didn't want to play alongside another traditional big and Derek Culver, I think it would be a little bit of a bad look to turn around and recruit another traditional big to play alongside Oscar Tshiebwe. But I think Kentucky felt comfortable with, you know, the 12 players that they have currently on the roster. You know, 9 times out of 10, you absolutely take Kofi Coburn and let the chips fall where they may and work things out later. But I think in this specific instance, I think it was the right call. I mean, even if he's, you know, projected as a first-team All-American, going to be one of the best players in college basketball, Kentucky has a really, really good roster top to bottom. And I think if you add him this late in the process, you risk, you know, disrupting some of the team chemistry, if you will, your rotations and things like that. How do you play both those guys on the floor together at the same time? And so I think Kentucky, you know, said thanks, but no thanks. And his former coaches at Illinois advised him to go back to Champaign.
That's very interesting. Chris, we always appreciate your time. You're about as well plugged into this recruiting thing as anybody we know, and we appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge, and we hope you'll come back often.
Anytime, guys.
Okay. Thanks,
Chris.
A lot. Thanks a
All
lot.
Right, have a good one.
He hit the nail on the head. You and I talked about Coburn.
Yeah.
And why would he choose Kentucky?
We didn't. You did. You didn't think he was coming all along. I thought he was a cinch to come here.
Well, but it looked like it when you painted the picture with the assistants, right, Jen in Orlando. Right. But, you know, I think that Calipari went through a situation last year where the culture wasn't what he wanted, what he's used to. First time he's really made some mistakes culture-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he wanted to rock the boat with the big fella. Oscar Tshiebwe came in and sat out last year. I think he would have a hard time. I really believe that. You would too, and I would. Looking Tshiebwe in the eye and saying, hey, look, big fella, you came in here. We really appreciate you coming in here, but I'm going to bring this other guy in. We would have a hard
time.
That's
a great point. No, that's a great point. And to your credit, you said it all along. The other thing that he said I found very interesting is everybody has speculated about Cal and the COVID situation, and he came right out and said it. There was when Cal wasn't at the Peach Jam, and I'll give you another instance. We all know how Cal loves that camera and kissing mom. And so when he wasn't up at when
the draft,
when Isaiah was in the green room and Cal wasn't there. Makes you wonder if Chris wasn't right on the money with that.
I agree. And it was rampant down there. A lot of people we don't know about, assistants and head coaches, got the COVID or had to quarantine themselves anyway.
Yeah. Hey, a reminder that this segment has been brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. Looking for thrills this weekend? Hop on a mountain bike, race through whitewater rapids, or zip through the treetops. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations, but they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.